Welcome back to another episode of an Investor's Journey podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Barbera. And in this episode, I want to cover why it is that we manage our own projects and how we do it. Now, before we get into that, the reason most people don't manage their own projects is because they're not, in my opinion, of course, real investors. So real investors, from all the real investors that I know that are actually doing multiple projects at a time, they're been doing this for years, and most likely are going to continue doing this for years, they all manage their projects. And if it's not them, it's somebody in their team that manages their projects. But somebody within the organization is managing the projects. For everybody else that wants to hire investor-friendly contractors or want to do any of that crap, you're just playing real estate investor. You're not actually a real real estate investor. You're just throwing money in the table and hoping that you get lucky and make some money. That's, you know, the worst way that you want to get into real estate. One of the biggest reasons we see so many people lose their ass in real estate is because they're not on top of their projects. So they're not managing them. They're not there every day. They think they can do this from a distance, and they don't have somebody that's vested in the project, aside from the contractor, managing that project. Right. So it's really a recipe for disaster. It's not to say that it can't work out once or twice, but you're not building a business around that. So that being said, the number one reason we manage our own properties, our own projects, is to maximize profits. That's the biggest reason, is to maximize profits. If we manage our own projects, you got to understand that every project you take on, any task you take on, it's always your fault if it goes wrong, right? You're the owner, or you're the investor. You're the top of the chain right here. So anything that goes wrong is your fault. So why would you want to outsource that or put all that responsibility on somebody else's hands when ultimately it's going to fall back on you? You understand? So we don't like that. You understand? We don't like having other people control our projects and our money and our opportunity to make more money moving forward. It's just not a way to do business. It's our business. It's our company. Therefore, it's our fault. And if it's our fault, I want control. You understand? Because then that way, if I have control, I know it's all on me. And if it's all on me, I'm fine with that. I'm always willing to bet on myself. I'm never willing to bet on somebody else. Because shit happens, their life changes, and you're the one that's left holding the bag. So number one reason, it's all your fault. And also, we like quality control. If you manage your own projects, you can control pretty much when things are being done wrong, right? You set expectations. So, I mean, I've done plenty of podcasts on managing your contractors and everything. One of the really good ones that I did that people enjoyed was it's not your contractor's fault, right? So, and that one was, it's not your contractor's fault that you're lazy, because you, as the owner, as the investor, you need to be setting expectations. You need to be going there daily when a new scope is going to be starting, right? So if you're going to be going from, let's say, demo, and then now they're going to start sheetrock patching and everything, you should go to make sure they're patching all the right cracks and that, you know, they're not skipping any areas or misunderstanding anything. I mean, you want to reiterate everything. You never want to assume. You never want to say, oh, you should know better. Yes, we should all know better. Yet nobody does, right? At the end of the day, nobody realizes that you meant this or that. And it's, again, it's back to your fault. It's not their fault. It's your fault. 100%. It always falls on you. So take responsibility. And this way you can have quality control. I went recently to a house that an investor friend of ours was doing a new build on. Man, the amount of mistakes on a new build was blowing my mind. You understand? And from somebody that comes from construction, John always laughs at me because he says that, you know, there's a reason why he manages the projects and I don't. And it's more because I don't have the patience and I demand too much of the workers, right? And by too much, I mean I demand them that if they're going to do their job, to actually do it correctly. So that's that seems to be unrealistic in a lot of areas. But that being said, this house, I go to it and the tiles, I mean, they put tile throughout the whole house, right? And they're raised so much higher than the other one, off level. Some of the walls are crooked on a new build. The few doors weren't closing right. The cabinets weren't installed right. And that was just, I was walking through and it was like nails on a chalkboard for me. Because I'm looking at this house, I'm looking at this project, I'm like, it's a new build. How do you screw up a new build? Like, everything is new. You put everything up. How do you mess this up? And truly, the reason you mess it up is because the person in charge, the investor, wasn't there to manage. You understand? So the contractor was just doing his thing. And sometimes, like, I did another podcast called Tunnel Vision, and it happens. As a contractor, as anybody, you get tunnel vision, and sometimes you just want to get through the project, especially when it starts getting delayed. You understand? And this particular investor, we were talking about it, and he said how he would go to the project, and if he felt that once the contractor was done, that the contractor told him, hey, I'm done, ready for final walkthrough, and he felt the contractor didn't do everything he should have done before he went to that final walkthrough, that he wouldn't even walk through it because it's not his job to point out mistakes. And I was like, no, it actually is your job to point out mistakes. Like, why do you want to depend on the contractor's competency to determine whether the project was done right or wrong? Now, this is the way he wants to operate, which is perfectly fine for him. Just in my perspective, I don't understand those things, right? To me, I want to go there as frequent, as often as possible to make sure they're not fucking anything up. You understand? And I want to keep going and I want to make sure it's like, hey, this corner doesn't look right. Hey, this little thing, because while they're doing it, they can fix it for nothing. Now, if I wait all the way to the end of the project and then go back and blue tick the shit out of the house, I'm delaying the project. I'm costing the contractor more money. And one thing you just don't want to do is cost the contractor more money. Even though, yes, the contractor's at fault, they did a shit job. I agree. I'm not arguing that point. But what I'm going to say is that if the contractor starts losing money, your project starts getting pushed to the back burner because it's no longer a profitable project. You understand? So that is a big risk that you are taking on. And I know many of you might be thinking, oh, that's bullshit. They need to do their job, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. That's what's going to happen. It's not an emotional thing. I don't care what your feelings are. That's just what's going to happen. So I don't want my contractors to lose money. So if there's a way I can help to make sure they don't lose money, to make sure my project doesn't drag on, I'm going to do that. Which is the other reason why we manage our own project is speed. If we're there continuously, we can foresee things that, you know, hey, are you planning for this? Are you planning for that? Did you call this in? If we're ordering materials, that's going to have a lead time. Are we ordering it with enough time? You know, when are you going to need the materials delivered? We want to make sure that everything is being done so that project gets nailed out as quickly as possible. Because any delays in the project, let's say like what happened to us many times, that we were relying on the contractor and the contractor forgot to order something, right? Or they forgot to call for an inspection or whatever it may be. So like the most recent one was they forgot to call for an inspection. It took like 3 to 4 weeks for that inspection to come in. Until that inspection came in, nothing else could be done in the job. So what happens is that that's a ripple effect because now we got to wait for that inspection to come in. So the people during that 3 or 4 weeks, the workers went to find other work. And now once the inspection finally comes through, I'm trying to get these people back in here, but they have other work. And now they're giving me schedules for another week or two out, you know? And so now something that shouldn't have been delayed at all, delayed 5-6 weeks, and that costs money, especially if you're borrowing money, especially if you're taking on hard money or private money, whatever it is, it costs money, you know, holding costs, you know, your lights, everything, it all costs money. You might even miss, if it's long enough, the window to sell on a hot market. You understand? You don't want to miss that perfect window, that summertime window when all the houses just sell so fast. You don't want that to delay and get into that, you know, when the school season starts. Now, many people are buying houses because most people are like getting, you know, coming back from vacations, getting their kids ready to go to school. There's a million things going on. Home buying is not a priority at that time. You understand? So you don't want to miss those windows. And that's where all these delays come into play. So that is why it is that we manage our projects. You understand? So it's to maximize profits is really what all of this sums up to, is just maximize profits. And we do that by just managing their expectation, managing the quality, and managing the speed. So I'm linking the other podcast below that I did about that, so you guys can check it out. Now, how we manage our projects is we use Excel. Now, personally, I hate Excel. It's mind-numbingly painful to look at. Not to say that the ability of Excel is not there. It's a very impressive tool. You can do literally anything and everything in it. It's very, very impressive. It's just mind-numbing to look at. But my business partner, luckily, loves Excel with a passion. So he actually built out, if you're watching, I printed this out because we recently gave a class on this, but he built out a spreadsheet for us to manage our projects. And I'm going to link that spreadsheet below. I'm not sure if you guys are going to be able to use it. It was built for us by us, right? So it's in the way that we run our business. So you can kind of get it and maybe manipulate it your way, but it's how we use it and how it's worked for us. When we gave the class, there's people that were pointing out, oh, you can do this easier if you do this or this. And it's like, I get it. But this works for us. And that's the biggest point of any business, is you got to make it work for you, right? So the way we do it is, if you're watching, if not, again, we're going to be putting this up below on the show notes. The first page here is, this is going to be your labor, right? So we track all our labor. So what are our projections, right? What do we think we're going to spend on demo? What do we think we're going to spend on all labor part, right? Installing floors, cabinets, tile, all that stuff, all the labors. We put everything in here and then we go tracking that. So as we pay people out, you know, we go tracking. What did we think it was going to cost? What did it actually cost? Why did we go over, if anything, right? And we go tracking all of those things. And then the second page that you see right here. So this second page is actually materials. And then here we track all of our materials, from quantity to price to the supplier to the item number. The reason we track it this thoroughly is because there's a lot of projects when you're doing multiple that you'll use the same light fixtures, for a long time. We were using the same tile on almost all of our projects because it was affordable and it looked great when it was done. So you get all these SKU numbers and all these things. So it makes it a lot easier when you want to go to Home Depot or Lowe's or something and do a bulk order. You have all your SKUs. You don't have to go back through the aisles and shopping and picking things out. And again, yes, we source our own materials, because depending on where we buy, if we buy in bulk, we can get huge discounts. And again, like I told you before, the number one reason for managing your own projects is to maximize your profits. And oh, before we move forward, the number one reason on why we track them the way that we track them this way with these spreadsheets is because one issue that we see a lot of investors get into, and an issue that we've gotten into a few times, is you don't want to have a lot of project left at the end of your money. And if that didn't make sense to you, that means that you still need to finish your project and you're broke. You do not want that to happen. It becomes very, very difficult to happen if it surprises you, of course, right? So there's times that happens to us a lot of times. There's a lot of times that we're getting towards the end of the project and we know we're going to maybe spend an extra 10 grand on like one project. We spent almost an extra 20 grand because as we were getting towards the end of the project, we saw the comps jumped up tremendously. So did the finish out on our project. It needed to jump up more. We needed to do fancier stuff on the project, more detail that we weren't originally anticipating. So, but we saw that coming and we budgeted for that. You understand? So we got our money from wherever we needed to source it from, you know, from our other accounts, and we were able to do that. And then we knew how much we put in, so we knew how much to take back out for that project. So tracking all of this also helps when you're doing joint ventures. When you're doing joint ventures, and let's say, you know, how we do them a lot is that somebody will probably put up the money, we'll do the work, you know, and stuff like that, is you want to make sure you're getting reimbursed for your labor or for your materials or for all the stuff that you come out of pocket for. And we've seen it plenty of times when people are not tracking this, they could be out of pocket a couple $1,000s that they just completely missed because they look at all the big ticket items, but you don't realize that the money is lost on the small details. You understand? Like that's one thing that we learned recently with John is that we're actually closing on a rental property, and we decided to close with a different title company because their fees were $600 cheaper. And before, I remember when we first started, we would have never looked at that. We would have been like, $600, who cares, right? In the scheme of things, what the hell is $600? But now, after doing this for many years and having done a lot of projects, you start seeing the value in $600. Because it's not the $600, it's the habit that you're forming, right? So that $600, along with $200 over here, along with $300 over there, along with $50 here, $20 there, does add up to sometimes $2,700 or $3,800 of savings that you could have had. And that's bottom line, profit in your pocket. And that matters because that's when you build those habits. And that's why tracking becomes so, so important. And when we track our materials, the same thing, we start tracking them. It also helps us in understanding, you know, our materials going up from one project to the next, because that's one thing that we recently have seen. Ceiling fans, a lot of fixtures have been going up like crazy, you know, and that's something that's going to affect your projects. When something's going up 50%, you're like, oh, but it's three ceiling fans. Yeah, but when you have multiple projects, all those things add up. You understand? So now when you are spending maybe $150 on fans, now you're spending $100 per fan, right? And you're spending a lot more money now. So all those things matter in tracking them, making sure you understand where the market is going. Are prices going up? Should you adjust for when you renovate? You know, are you should get a bigger discount? All those things are going to matter. So that's why we track it. And then this one is the one that we spend the most time on. This is the most important sheet. And this one, as you can see, is our expense sheet. So this one tracks all the expenses, our rehab loan, and then this little quadrant John built out, the last one, the third one that you're going to see is the most important one because that's your checks and balance quadrant, right? So on here, if it's negative or if it's off by anything, it's because you didn't adjust for a number correctly. You didn't track something and there's something off in all the calculations here, which is awesome to have because there's a lot of times that you just forget to put something, you forget to add something, and then you're going to see that number on that final box that's just not adding up. It's not balancing to zero. And if it's not balancing to zero, there's something off. There's something you're not accounting for. You understand? So you need to start going back, checking through your receipts, checking through your labor and seeing what did you miss. And that's very, very important because at the end, you're going to see at the bottom that there's a surplus shortage number, and that's telling you how much are you going to be over budget or under budget, you know, and that goes adjusting real time. So there's a lot of times once you factor in all your projections, all your materials, and you do that to start the project, and then you start actually inputting the real numbers as you go through the project, you're going to start seeing real quick, am I running out of money? You understand? Are we going to need to pull from somewhere else? Are we going to need to tap into our savings or our reserves or whatever it is to finish out this project? Because again, the last thing you want is to get to the, you know, the last day and you have 2 weeks left to work and you're like, oh shit, I don't have money to pay these guys. Same thing. Now you got to go look for the money. In the meantime, your guys go get other jobs. And then when you finally get the money, you try to hire them back in. Now you got to wait for them. So that you lost 2 weeks, maybe a month and a half by the time you found the money, got your guys lined up, and got the job finished. And that month and a half can really, really hurt you, especially if you're borrowing hard money, especially if you're borrowing private money, especially if you're trying to sell at a certain time within the market. All of that is going to affect you. So that, in a nutshell, this is how we manage everything. There's a lot more, obviously, to go through with all this, but we did a class that was, an hour and a half or 2 hour long class, and we barely scratched the surface on this, right? It's a massive of spreadsheets, of a lot of things to track, but between all the podcasts I've put out on project management and on scopes of work and everything, you should have a pretty good base to kind of get going on this. But definitely take this serious. Again, I'm going to upload this. I'm going to link all the other podcast episodes below that are going to link with this on our website. So make sure to just follow that and check out those other ones so you can kind of put the whole story together. And again, if you guys have any questions or anything, reach out to us. We're always here to help. And I would really appreciate you guys, you know, sharing the podcast, telling your friends about it. The feedback we get from you guys means a lot to us. So I really appreciate your support and everything. And I hope you guys are enjoying it. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out. So have a great day, and I'll catch you in the next one.